Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Let's Talk About It, y'all. And it's a full moon. I don't know about you. I know it's October 14th. And I know I got a girlfriend whose birthday is today. And I want to say happy birthday, Miss Val. And my, oh, me. Look at this moon. Woo! This is Adrian, Misunderstandings Allen. I got alongside with me today, Sister Janice Mima Hutton. And our very own CEO, Sister Tylene Chappie Toy Daily. Ladies, are y'all ready for Let's Talk About It tonight?
I'm ready.
Hey, I'm ready, ready.
I don't know. Y'all don't sound like y'all ready. Are y'all ready? Ladies, I'll ask that one more time. No, what I will say, though, is because we do know how it works, we do know what the enemy is into, and we know how we like to bless God, what I want to do on this beautiful moon out there, and y'all know the moon is everywhere the same way. That's how God works, you know.
Amen.
One God, one moon, one sun. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Mima, I would like you to pray us in. Or tell the devil to sit down. Whatever way you'd like.
Amen.
To do. Go on, have your way.
Yes, he got to sit down. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as humble as I know how. Asking you, Lord, please bless us on this airwaves tonight, Lord Jesus. Let our words become action. Let our action become our words, Lord. Lord, let us do what we need to do in your will, Lord Jesus. Lord, protect us and guide us, Lord Jesus. Keep us safe and sound from any hurt, harm, or danger, seen, unseen. Lord Jesus, spiritual, mentally, and physical. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for us just coming together tonight, Lord Jesus. And let anybody that's listening, let them get a full plate of whatever we're putting out there in your holy name, Jesus. Let them know that it's us through you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name, Jesus Christ, I pray, hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Chat, you sound like you was right there. I was going to say, listen, I know that there is so much that we can talk about. And I mean, even we could just talk about what's going on in D.C. Now, y'all know I don't even like to talk about what's going on in D.C. But now it then got to the point where everybody needs to talk about what's going on in D.C. Because if you don't understand what's going on in D.C., maybe you don't understand what's going on for real. Because you got to understand at least a part of the game in order to at least decide that you're not in the game and you don't want to play that game. That way you can, stand on something else and go back to our righteousness versus our wrongness, you know, right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff? Please.
You know, I'm almost at a loss of words with what's going on in Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
And it's funny because when I think of the office of president, when I think of our Congress, when I think of our House of Representatives, there are so many thoughts that were instilled in me as a small child. I thought of respectfulness. I thought of pride of country, pride of office, pride within self. There were so many different things. I thought about protecting your constituents. And now when I see this office has become a joke. It has become, and not just in the White House, but just about from the Senate floor to Congress, all of it has become
a
joke. Like, we're no longer about what's best for our constituents, but we're all about what's best for the mighty dollar. No one cares about the people that aren't eating, but we care more about how much we're going to spend for the lavish lifestyle that we've become accustomed to. We don't worry about homelessness or people being dealt injustices, but we just worry about our own self-worth and gratification and glorification. And that was not the office or the attitude that I thought of when I see the White House. Right now, we are going through impeachment, investigation hearings. We are going through this one, listening on that one. Did the president ask somebody else to investigate somebody else? Like, I feel like I'm back in the dean's office at a high school listening to the he said, she said, that they said situations that the children would fight over.
Yep.
And it becomes sad because recently the Lord, as we started back with our morning walks, the Lord had led me to start with the book of Isaiah. And it for a long time, I wondered, like, God, why Isaiah? Like, Isaiah is coming at the people's neck. Like, Isaiah is a book of prophecy.
Yeah.
But the Lord was sending warning out to Jerusalem and to Judah about what was getting ready to happen if they maintained in their ways. And as I've been reading the book of Isaiah, and we're only up to chapter 5, I can't help but each chapter I sit and go, this sounds like Washington, D.C.
Wow. Wow.
Where sons are out to get fathers, and we no longer care about the homeless. We no longer care about injustice. We're saying that evil is good and good is evil. We're saying that light is darkness and darkness is light. And I'm reading this in the book of Isaiah, and I'm thinking of what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I'm saying, Jesus.
Amen.
Like, can we take back, I know it's too early to go in to take it back, but can we take back when we get there the offices of the White House, the offices of the Senate, the offices of Congress, where it's back to supporting and taking care of the constituents of the United States of America and not based off of the mighty dollar?
No.
We can't pass rifle laws that protect the people because the NRA pays too much money into the lobbyists in Congress, and they want that money to keep flowing.
Yeah.
We can't really fight drug trafficking because although we say we are, we're not really fighting drug trafficking because at the end of the day, it's the mighty dollar that is controlling it. People are still fighting to make marijuana, which is helping with the sicknesses of cancer and MS and lupus and things of that nature legal. But we're fighting against that, but we won't go out and find a cure for these diseases because the money's not in the cure. It's in containing and maintaining the symptoms of the disease.
Yes.
It's just sad. It's just sad. And then we look and wonder why everybody is so mad. Why is everybody with such attitude? Why is everybody in such a state ready to fight?
Wow.
God's word is coming full circle again. You want to know what's going on? Read the book of Isaiah. Read the book of Isaiah. Everything he said in there that he was saying to Jerusalem and to Judah can be said to United States of America right now.
Amen.
A mighty nation ready for the fall.
Yes.
Everything's coming to light.
You know what?
It's all coming to light.
Funny about that? I'm sorry. You know what is really funny about that, though? When you look at Isaiah, and you hear. Exactly, because it is exactly where we are. Like how people always say that we're in Revelation, like we're at the end. We are at the end, but there's a difference between at the end and at the end. We at the end of this raggedy. How about that? We at the end of doing it wrong. We about to start paying attention to the other stuff that starts to tell you that you're doing it right. Because, oh, man. Like Georgia said, about to take it back. How about to take it back be take away some of the options. I know that sounds backwards, right? Because we always want options. You always want more choices and stuff. But right. the more choices and the more options and the more things that you have a chance to pick or think that you want or think that that's where you want to go, it kind of messes you up because then it's like there's no more three choices in ice cream. You know, it's no more chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yeah, because
you can get what you want. But now you got to get what you want, and then you got to match what you want because you thought that that's what you wanted because that's what you got. And that, you know what I mean? And it's like, then you're running in a circle trying to do
yes.
something because of that choice. And it's like, if you didn't have that many choices, you wouldn't even be going there because, unfortunately, I hope it doesn't happen the way that it's happening, but right now we got too many choices going against the one crazy guy. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
You know, we got too many of them now.
Because
we can't get one that's going to beat them. Right.
Yes, definitely. You know, basically in the White House, is like a three-ring circus in all reality. You know, everybody want to take it and tame the lions. But the lions refusing to be tamed right now, you know. So that's why they doing what they doing, and with Trump calling out for the other ex vice president, you know, and stating that he's doing so much, you know, Trump trying to take it and throw it off of him. So to throw it off
mm-hmm.
of him, he's gonna throw it on somebody else, you know. And that's where the three main circuits come in at, you know. What happened in the past, you know. We're looking for the crack, how can I say that? Looking for the crack in the epidemic, you know. But we were selling guns to finance the Iran, you know. And
because
how can I say that? You know what I mean. You know, it's just
we
like
set
the
them
back
up.
Of my head right now. Yeah, it's basically it set them up, and then like became a scandal. You know.
Mhm. Which is upsetting all within itself. Look, America and a scandal, which we try not to do. But you know what? Another thing that it seems like a scandal has become, because back in the day, and I don't want to say this and offend anyone, and it's definitely not a Purpose Kingdom Network thing, but it's the truth. Back in the day, when we used to see certain crimes, we would know that.
Yeah, basically,
my cousin didn't do this. I mean, in my sweat. You know what I mean? Like you would hear
right.
something that happened. And then you would say, what happened? And then you'd be like, I don't know who would do that. And you would just kind of wait to see if they got caught. Nowadays, it's weird how people, one, are getting caught, or two, not getting caught. It's just like we got senseless violence going on. We got some senseless. Check this. We got some senseless, and then we got some that's just blatant murder and trying to play behind innocence of a role or something. I mean, and that's just my opinion because if you do the time, if you do the crime, they say you should do the time. Ain't this what they say?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You shouldn't kill yourself or do all of this dirt and then. Like, run in front of a bullet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't really deal with the actual crime. So it's like, you did the crime for what? Because you ain't even have no time. Like,
basically,
it's just getting to the point now. Go
right.
ahead, Mima, help
basically,
me.
It was, basically, it was the CIA, you know, because how do young black men get crack, you know, where did crack come from, you know? CIA brought all that over here because we didn't have no boats. We didn't own no airplanes, you know? So where did we get all this from? And even the scandal with the guns and whatnot, you know? So the to bring, to try to get it all back and to clean up what they had done, you know, putting these guns and drugs and stuff in a black man's hand. They realized they done start all-out city war, you know, so they try their own way to get it back. You know, one way is to get it back, is the start of it all, is to legalize marijuana. You know, when at one point it wasn't legal. You know, they put it in our son's hands, in our brother's hands, in our daddy's hands, in our uncle's hands, you know, to make money for themselves and keep things going for themselves. But what they didn't realize is that the black man was smarter than what they thought. They was taking and keeping that money in their own homes and putting it and hiding it away. And when they realized what was going on, they tried to come and kill them all. So how they decided to kill them all was have them kill each other off. So they, one person told one person, this person was doing that and that person was doing that, whereas though they didn't understand what was going on. You know, when they said, oh, you know how we say, word of mouth, you know, I come and I whisper in Sister Adrian's ear, you know, Tommy got the drugs, so you can go over there and get them. And then Adrian whispered in your ear, Pastor Toy's ear, and say, Tommy had the drugs, but I don't know where he put it at. But it's not what I said. So therefore, it become a confusion. And in that confusion, it becomes a lie. So everybody thinks that they're lying to one another. So it spreads out and get broadened out. The next thing you know, so let's kill the man that we put in his hand, which we didn't, which didn't know too much. So we're gonna kill the black man off one by one. Amen.
Amen. And
amen.
You know,
one by one, and that was years ago. Imagine how they're doing it now. Ten by ten.
Now in the day.
The saddest part, which sort of brings us to the violence that's going on all around us.
That's right.
You
know, the
mass shooting. And not
that's
just
right.
The mass shooting that people are planning out, but the shootings that are taking place out of spirits of anger.
Yeah.
Where you don't even know how to truthfully shoot a gun properly. So instead of hitting the one person you're trying to shoot, you end up spraying a block full of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You won't even go get a real a pistol gun, but you want an automatic so that you can stand off
mm-hmm.
at a distance like you in a video game. The problem is, unlike
mm-hmm.
the video game, you can reset. In real life, you can't reset.
Amen. You can't reset. Amen. Amen.
On the video game, when you see the blood coming out of people's bodies, it's fake. It's a computer-generated code. But in real life, those people don't come back. Those
Amen.
Families mourn for real.
In real life.
And not
and look
just
at
the family family that is... Not just the family that is mourning the loss of those who may have passed, but then the family that is mourning the life of the young person that's now in jail for the rest of their life.
Yep.
Or that may not
Amen.
Have made it out of the situation themselves. More is affected and affected by our actions than we give credit to.
Amen. Yes.
Cain asked
yes.
God
yes.
a question after he killed his brother Abel. When God said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" Abel's response was, "Am I my brother's keeper?"
Brother's keeper. Wow.
The answer to that question is yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Because right now, the blood of our sons and our daughters and our sisters and our brothers, our mothers and our fathers are crying out from the ground.
Amen.
And we, the people of God, we sit back and we gather together after the shooting. But why aren't we gathering together in prayer before the shooting?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Why are we declaring peace in the name of Jesus before the shooting? But we sit behind the safety of our sanctuary four walls and go, oh, God is going to help. God is going to move. How about God wants to use you to move?
You to move. Amen.
He said one can chase a thousand of flight, two can chase tens of thousands of flight. So what's going to happen if you get three or four people together on a corner where you know it might be heavy drug traffic, where you know it might be shootings, and you pray before night falls and speak peace, salvation, speak healing, speak deliverance.
Let's talk about it. I like it. You know, we start things on Let's Talk About It. You know, y'all be out there listening. Yeah. Shout out to everybody who's listening right now. If you'd like to call in and join us live, the number is 319-527-6091. If you're a Metro T-Mobile person, your number is 323-870-4174. However you need to get in, get in. If you would like to say something at the table, come on. Let's talk about it. But right now, the way we're talking about it, I like that. I like the fact that if you say one or two people on the corner, listen, we can do this. We can do this, y'all. Everybody that's listening, y'all can pick a corner. I heard somebody say something to a young man the other day in church, and he said something like, every time you see me, you better know I'm leaning on you. And I thought about that, and I said, wow, if every one of us could be leaning on somebody else, just that one little lean on that person is going to make them think about what they're about to do a little bit better because they know you leaning on them. Or they know you won't be leaning on them when you see them. Like, so it's like an accountability thing almost. But right now it's like Chap said, like, you mad. But you haven't even followed through on the fact that you're mad. You don't know why you're mad.
Like,
people walking around here with attitudes. Like, you're walking around with an attitude, but you don't even know why you got an attitude. Because most of the time that you have an attitude is because something that you didn't do or something that you don't want to do and you got to do. I mean, nobody really wants to tell the truth and say, you know, that's why I really am mad because I should have did this 2 years ago and I never did it. And now it's like no one else is doing it, but 2 years have passed and I still need to get it done. So now that I got to get it done, I'm really mad because I don't even have anybody else to blame but me for not doing it. But within the attitudes of me having to do everything that I got to do and then you're giving it off on somebody else might just turn around and, you know what I mean? And on their way to go and help you doing whatever they're doing, they get cut off. Now, they done got cut off and because they already was upset about something that they didn't need to be upset about anyway because it was something that you should have did 2 years ago, but they're trying to help you out and you're upset. Now they get cut off. Now that before you know it, they upset and they done cut somebody all the way completely different. Now that person mad. You understand what I'm saying? Now that person mad. And then you don't understand why that person's mad. Then that person goes to the store and that person comes to you and say, what's the problem with you? And you mad because that person said something wrong to you. And now you got mad too because that person didn't, you ain't like the way that person said it. But you don't realize that that person got cut off by the same person that just had a whole attitude because they were trying to do something else to somebody else. You know what I mean? Everybody walking around with all of this stuff. But if we root it, I'm telling you, man, it's a bad ripple. So you got to know where it came from. You got to know where it started. So that way, when it comes to you, you can actually put the board up to kind of slow the ripple down. So it doesn't become like a real big rip current. Like it doesn't become like a real big wave. You know what I mean? And each one of us kind of eases the storm down a little bit, you know? Like, I know you're upset. Mm-hmm. I'm upset, too. I'm upset, too. But if you think about why we're upset, then you go back and then it says, wow. God says that if you're mad because you're hungry, look, you're mad because you ain't got no money. You're mad because you don't know where the next one is coming from. But yet, you still going to be all right. But yet, you're walking around mad. You never even realize that the verse, what's it say, Matthew 5:3, God blesses those who are poor and realize that they need for him. for the kingdom of heaven is theirs, but you don't have to know, you don't really know that until you really are running on empty. Because everything and anything can supply your need because you think that that's what you needed and you needed what you thought that you got, and so you got what you thought that you needed. But really it didn't have anything to do with it, because until mm-hmm. you become all the way needy, because until you are realizing that there is nothing else and you are just poor, that's when you realize that you need nothing but God, and that's when you realize he's standing right there waiting on you.
See,
but you got to go through all of that. You know what I mean? You got to go through all of those ripples to just end up at the bottom.
The problem is when we, even when we're going through those things, we don't see God until after the fact. It's like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. Like you see the paper rolling down the street. You might see the leaves blowing. But by the time you see that, the wind has already passed. We are so busy looking for the Red Sea to split that we don't see the small miracles that God gives to us every day. Remember, God said he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He said all of our needs. He did not say he was going to supply all of our wants. Like somebody might be, well, if that's the case, why is there so many people in the shelters? Well, at the end of the day, if even in the shelter, there's a roof over their head, so the need was supplied.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
No matter if the food was donated or you cooked it in your own kitchen, the need was supplied.
Was supplied. Yes, it was. Amen.
So we got to stop looking at, oh, I'm waiting for the dead to get up, because, yeah, he's still doing that too. Or I'm waiting for the cancer patient to be healed, and, yeah, he's still doing that too. But we got to begin to acknowledge him for the small things he does for us that we take for granted.
Take for granted. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Like for some of us, God has become our umbrella.
Yes.
You know,
and a lot of us don't perceive it. A lot of us don't perceive it. Yeah, but he's there. He's always there. And that brings me to a conversation that I had with my second son today. I had went out of town today, and I went to see my son because I haven't heard from him. And in the process of me going to see him, you know, my grandson, his second child, they always say that, oh, he's bad and he's crazy and he this and he that. You know, and what I explained to the mother was, you got to stop saying those things. If you say this, say he's crazy, if you say he's bad, so within himself he's going to believe it. Then the conversation, I learned that he has an IEP, you know, and IEP, I asked her, I said, what is his IEP for, you know? And she said, because he's bad and he do things. I said, IEP because he's bad? I said, he shouldn't have an IEP because he's bad, you know. I said, he should have an IEP because of a learning disability. And in the process of learning that, I learned that he was in a classroom full of mentally challenged children. I mean, mentally challenged children that have effects, you know, some are mongoloid, some are dysfunctional, you know, and some are crippled, you know. And I asked, I said, are you kidding me? I said, you allow them to put your child in a class like that? She said, no, well, that's all they have for them. I said, now you want to know why your son coming home said, you understand what I'm saying? He's learning what the other children are learning. Because when I knew this child, this kid was just an all right kid, you know, and this kid was talking. So now that when he talks with a mumble, you know. So I'm like, you get my grandson out of there and you get him out of there now. I said, that's not what he needs. I said, what you got to do is take him out. let him see that he's loved. I said he has middle child syndrome. Nobody don't believe it. I said, but if you take that kid out and you do things with that kid and you show that kid that he's loved, even go to the classroom sometime and say, I'm going to take Manaya to class today like an hour early. That's an hour early that you have time to spend with him. Get to know him. Once you get to know him and you deal with his intellectual, you'll see a 360-degree turn about with this kid. But in the meantime, in between time, you find a way of getting your child out of there, because before your child got in there, he wasn't doing those things. He was acting like normal children, but because you always call him bad, his mother always called him bad, now he got from bad to crazy. So we are what a child is, what he learned. You know, children learn what they live and live what they learn. So this is what's going on, you know, and that's just like the situation in the White House, you know. Everybody's learning manipulation. Everybody's learning, if Trump can do it, then I can do it. But in all reality, what I see in Trump, everybody see him as a big, overgrown, spoiled man. But he's a big, overgrown, spoiled man with a danger zone to him, and don't nobody realize that, because he's doing things that he don't realize what he's doing and troubling the state, you know. So everybody got to get a handle. You got to get a handle on that. Somebody higher than him, right? Because he's the president of the United States, don't mean he's higher than the world, because you got a supreme being that's higher than him. You know, you got to get some warriors together and have them prayer warriors come out and pray. You get up there on the White House and pray, you know, just like Pastor Troy said, you know, instead of talking about it, be about it, you know. And in all reality, what we really need is to be proactive instead of reactive. You know, so all that said in one is do what we're supposed to do and do what God said the Lord. We got to take care of each other.
That's
it. We're lost.
And that's right. And the funniest part is right now we even have a place where we can go and get a standard. And that's what people are missing right now. We are lacking in a standard because people have tried to set different rules and regulations as if that is their standard. Now, if we go back, like you said, to we have a supreme being, because there is one thing, there is something that can stop Donald Trump. I said it. I said his name. You understand? I said his name. Why did I say his name? Because at the end of the day, if God starts to hear his name, now, I know what y'all thinking, and I'm trying to tell y'all that prayer really is I wouldn't even say prayer does it, because prayer is everything. But don't doubt God. Don't doubt God by far. Don't count God short. Like, we're in situations, and we're looking at it, and we're trying to figure out why, but the underline of everything that we're saying right now is that we as the believers, if we know better, we need to start to do and demand better.
Amen.
I just left a meeting where we were just talking about it, and it's like, you know, we have no more time to just look at something and be displeased. It's 2019.
Amen.
We supposed to, if you see something now that is displeasing in your sight, you should go fix it.
Amen.
That might
stand
be the charge on your life.
Amen.
You understand? You didn't go through the things that you went through in life for you to hold on to the things that you went through in life and then watch other people start to go through the things that you went through in life but not doing it in the way that they need to, or not doing it in a securer way. You know, not to say it like in a secure, but in a better way. In a better way. When we were in the 80s, the way we played around, the way they played around in the 80s was not like we played in the 90s. You understand? But everybody had a play. We was all playing somehow. These 2019, I don't even know if it's a play, because right now everything is serious. Everything it looks like is serious, because like they say, you can't jump in somebody's car. You can jump in somebody's car and think that you was going to the party, because that's what we did. If so-and-so was having a party, we jumped in the car because that car was going. Now you jump in a car and they never see you again. Now you jump in a car and you somewhere in a different country being sold to all for anything. Who even would think to sell somebody for that? You understand? Like, we are in a mindset of the enemy. He has taken over everything. That's why I like to say we taking it all back. You understand? When I get into the goon stuff, we got to take it all back. I mean everything. From the way you speak to someone that you love. We got to take that back. That used to be a moment where you could be like, it was an embrace. Hey, girl. Oh, my God. I haven't seen you in so long. Da-da-da-da-da. Now it's, what's up, babe?
What?
Oh, hi.
And you know what? It's funny that you said it like that. And it's even funnier that you called President Donald Trump by name. Because we have to remember, just like you said, our conversation with life has changed. We have now embraced the negative as if it's the positive, and we look at the positive as if it's negative.
Right.
Like Isaiah said, I believe it was in chapter 4, like Isaiah said, we flip light for dark and dark for light. Because now, like she said, it's, hey, B, what's going on? And in my day growing up, if somebody called you a B, you was fighting.
Ooh,
I'm not saying that it's right to fight, but I'm saying that was a fight, at least an argument. Like, that was considered the worst thing that you could call, or one of the worst things that you can call a female. But then it takes me back to what Proverbs tells us, because Proverbs chapter 18 and 21 tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if we speak life, we birth life. If we speak death, we birth death. And right now, as a nation, as a world, as a society of human beings, as mankind, we speak more death than we speak life.
Life, right.
You know what, Chad?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you said something about speaking death as opposed to speaking life. Do you know why? I realized it the other day. Because we commemorate the death. We don't forgive. We haven't forgiven anything. We've just built on it. So think about what they say about when you have to forgive something, because every year of contentment, every year of resentment, it just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. So you're angry. You have a lot of hate. Now, we just celebrated 19 years of the 911. We say everybody's name again. Like, so we're in the other side of things. You help me explain that, because
In other words, like she's saying, it's the power of life and death. Now, to some, they say, well, we're honoring those whose lives were lost in that situation, and I understand that wholeheartedly. But for some who have not healed, they are reliving it all over again.
Over again, amen.
See,
the world is reliving it all over again.
But it's in a different sense, because for us who live afar off, who we saw it on the news, and yes, our hearts dropped and we were in panic, and it was almost like the generation of John F. Kennedy where everyone who was alive can tell you exactly where they were, what they were doing at the time that he died. Everyone alive when 911 originally happened can tell you where they were and exactly what was going on when the news came out that that first plane hit that first location. Now, in the midst of all of that, so, yes, we remember it, but we're remembering it at a distance. But at the end of the day, it was not my husband, my son, my brother, my sister, my daughter, my mother, my cousin, my friend, who, I mean, it was, my heart aches for them, but I was not closely connected to them. So for those of them who have not completely healed, they are reliving that hurt all over again. Some of them relive that hurt daily, which takes us back to what Adrian first said. We are living in the mindset of the enemy. We have forgotten that Christ said, "He who the Son sets free can be free indeed." Not, I'm sorry, can be, but is free indeed. But for us, it's a can be situation, because the only way we can be free is to believe that we are free.
That's right, believe.
And the only way we can believe it is to get to a place where you begin to let go of it, where you can talk about it without the sting, the pain, and the hurt of it. Yet as a nation, we don't talk about that without the sting, the hurt, or the pain.
Amen.
We still feel it. We still hurt from it. And Satan, the enemy, I don't care which office or person he's using to manipulate the situation, is playing off of it. We gave up a whole lot of freedom as a country because of what happened on 911. Before 911, they could not just randomly listen in on phone conversations. They can now.
That's right.
And we elected to allow them to be able to do that because we acted out of fear instead of reacting with prayer.
Amen.
We forgot that the word of God said for believers that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens
us. Amen.
And that again, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So if the power of life and death is in the tongue, now remember that goes for the unsaved too. That didn't just say for the saved the power of life and death is in the tongue. It says it for the unsaved too. So if the unsaved is speaking life, we can't sit back and mumble amongst ourselves and talk about how uncomfortable we are. We're supposed to get together as believers and speak life. We're supposed to get together as believers and speak freedom. We are supposed to be delivering demons. We are supposed to be healing the sick.
Lord.
And what I mean by delivering demons is delivering people from the bondage of demons. We are supposed to be in a place of fighting a spiritual warfare at all times. And instead of us coming together and getting in our knees and agreeing and touching and agreeing as one and allowing the move of the Holy Spirit to flow through us and in us and throughout of us, we get together and talk about, "Hey, girl, did you hear about what happened to Sister So-and-so's child? I always knew something was going on. Hey, girl, did you see how so-and-so came to church? Why her hair looked like that? She looked like she, girl, did you see what pastor's wife had on today? Girl, I heard that they was doing..." And unfortunately, that's not just the women. That is the men and the women of the house and the body of Christ. So what we really doing is the hands are sitting there going, girl, did you see what those toes look like today? And the toes is going, I don't like the way the arm moved today. And the arm is, we all make up one body. And if any part isn't functioning right, we're not supposed to sit and criticize it. We're supposed to pray healing into it.
Amen.
You want to know why America is going to hell in a handbasket? Because, number one, it was created on hatred.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I'm
That's
sorry.
Where they're going.
If I offend anybody, I apologize. This is not the thoughts of Purpose Kingdom Network as an entity or a ministry. These are my own personal thoughts. The reason America is on its way to hell in a handbasket is because at the end of the day, it was built on hatred and anger and murder and theft and violence. This was not an unoccupied land. This was a land that when the country sent not the best of their country to try to change a land, but their murderers and their killers and their rapists to occupy this land. And then they robbed who they could rob, and they killed off who they couldn't rob, and destroyed the whole nation of people.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to annihilation, and then mm-hmm. said, we're the greatest in the world. And then they went to another country and brought over a group of people in bondage and slaves and chains. And then they said, let's forget that happened and move on. It was built on hatred, but Christ is greater mm-hmm. than the hatred.
Yes.
God is bigger than the hatred.
Amen.
And if the people of God stop acting like punks and get in their fighting position, which is not gossiping, but on their knees, touching and agreeing in prayer, we could bring about a change.
Amen.
You can bring about a change in your life tonight if you were to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You could change your walk, your talk tonight. Jesus Christ could come in and begin to create you anew this evening. No matter what you may have ever done wrong in your life, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If there was, then truthfully there'd be no need for him. But he came to end our condemnation. And not just to end the condemnation, but to change who we are, how we are, how we respond, how we act, how we react, how we walk. It's not an overnight microwave situation where you accept him into your life and tomorrow you are this holy, dynamic person. It's a situation where you accept him into your life, and right this instant you become forgiven and saved. And then you become the righteousness of God through him. And as you continue to walk in him, he will begin to walk through you and change you. He will begin to change your thoughts. He will begin to change your actions. He will begin to change your attitude. If you would just accept him into your life, if you would just say, Father God, I come to you this evening agreeing on your word. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I ask you to come into my life. I accept the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. I ask him to forgive me my sins. I ask him to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. You just say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning or Bible study or prayer service. You can tell somebody right now. Call somebody on the phone. Go tell somebody if they're in the house with you. Go outside and scream at the top of your lungs, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as soon as you confess it out of your mouth, you are saved. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot bless God, that is why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network as we will be taking a walk down memory lane with our brother, Reverend Aaron Williams, in the Healing Hour. I'm sorry, in DTW Ministry. I'm sorry, please forgive me, in DTW Ministry. And we ask that you all hold Reverend Williams up in prayer tomorrow, and he'll fill you in on the rest of that when he comes back to see you. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Ladies, the ministry is back at the table. I don't know who wants to grab it, but it's out for grabs.
Well, we have a call on the line right now, so.
I'm bringing the caller.
Hey, how are you?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to say that that was a very beautiful message, and I will say that you are correct to say, you know, we have to really be realistic about how the world has evolved and, unfortunately, the bad things that have occurred. I used to hear a saying that goes that if you don't love yourself, how can you learn to love anybody else? So, you know, hopefully that will be thought, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought about it. So you have a blessed night, both of you, and I enjoyed your show.
Thank you. You also, Antonia, everyone, that's Sister Antonia back of Peripheral Vision. Adrian.
Yes.
Did we officially take anything back tonight, though?
Well, you had taken something back in the beginning, so I mean, you felt take it backish. Listen. You felt take it back. You know what I want? I took back something. I took back choices. Yeah, we took some stuff back.
Okay,
yeah, I took back choices. You took back, yeah. Janice, you got something? What you taking back?
Wow, what I'm taking back, I'm taking back the realness, you know, taking back the love. Loving one another, you know, as we want somebody to love us, love them, you know. That's what I'm taking back. Bring the love back in the world.
I can dig it. Bring the love back. Everybody needs a little bit of love. And you know what's funny? Love is a crazy word, because, you know, it's like, you know, the crazy, like, I love you. Like, oh, he said I love you, or I said I love you first, and that love is that love. You know what I mean? But there's a love in this thing. You know what I mean? That goes so much deeper than, yeah, like in the bottom of your gut.
Love of Christ,
like,
the love of Christ, sister. The love of Christ.
It's that
like
unconditional love,
like a mirror. Like if you were to look in the mirror, when you see your reflection in the mirror, the goal, the place that you want to be when you're looking in the reflection is how God sees you through that reflection. You know what I mean? Like God is your mirror. Like you might be looking back at what you see, but you're looking back. But look at what God sees in you and go get it. Leave all the other stuff alone. Leave all the other stuff alone. Try not to get mad. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what? It's funny because you're going to get mad. The point of getting
try
mad
not
is to get
focused.
Right. The point is not to get mad. The point is to get mad and then be happy. You know what I mean? Like in the midst of it.
Amen.
Like don't sit in the mad. You know what I mean? Like be mad. Be mad is all let out.
What'd you say?
Here goes the thing. I like how you said that. Be mad, but don't sit in it. Even God's word tells us that we can be angry. But right after the word, you can be angry, it then says, but. And, you know, the word but erases the you can be angry. It says, but sin not.
Amen.
In other words,
yeah,
it's okay to be angry, but you can't sin in your anger. And that's what's going on in the world around us. We get angry and then we sit and want to sin in our anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plot out what we're going to do behind this anger.
Right. So we got to be in
like
a place
fester.
Where when we get angry, we got to first stop lying about the fact that we're angry.
Amen.
If I hear one more person say, I'm good. It's all right. I'm good. No, you not. You not good. You angry.
Right.
And admit
you're not
it.
Good. Get good first.
And
don't just do
what,
that.
That's what's wrong. We won't admit that something bothered us because we think that to admit that something bothered us shows a weakness. It doesn't
show
weakness.
Well, that's what God's all about.
The word of God.
Where he or weak,
we
he is
get
strong.
Angry. He said we can get angry, but sin not. So how do we get
that's
angry and sin not? We do just what she said. We let his strength stand up in us where we're weak. So first we admit that we're angry.
Amen.
But then we ask God to fix us in that situation.
Amen.
Not even to fix that other person, but to fix me.
Amen.
Fix me in this situation, God, so that you can get the glory. Because
right.
if you can fix me in this situation, not only
yeah.
am I going to come out strong, but it has been my proof, and you have proven to me that anything I may have lost in this situation, you are going to give back unto me greater.
Amen. Yes.
More than enough.
That back, I'm gonna get better back.
Yeah.
Understand.
See, that's good right there.
Look in the mirror. That's where I was going with this. When we look in the mirror, we get caught up in all the stuff we see around us, and then we get caught up in our perception of how we think other people see us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. come on.
But what we got to get caught up in is how God says he sees us. That's why
Hallelujah.
I love that song, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to stop being so close that you see what God sees.
Amen.
So that you can see what God
sees. Can see what God sees. Amen.
Oh,
all the stuff around you. You see that you looking at yourself, but in your mind it's the dresser that's behind you that's reflecting in the mirror and clean. That's a part of what you think makes up what you look like. And subconsciously you begin to reflect on the fact that something don't look right in this picture because you caught up on what's behind you. You got to block out what the reflection of what's behind you is behind
Jesus.
You for a reason.
Ooh, fire. Mm-hmm. You better stop. What I'm going to say. Ooh.
I'm sorry,
y'all.
Thank you, guys.
No, you did exactly what needed to be done.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell it like it is, you know?
And I'm about to say yes, and that was let's talk about it at its best.
Let's talk about it, Pastor. Let's tell the truth about
Listen,
it.
Listen, that you've got to tell the truth because if you're not telling the truth anymore right now, there's no need for you
can't
to say anything.
Can't explain it no better.
Please
Amen.
Stop talking if you're not telling the truth because right now, that is what we need.
Mm.
Because
sorry.
They say the truth will
I'm
set
sorry.
You free.
Can I interrupt you? I'm sorry. Because somebody out there, he don't care you had the baby outside of wedlock. You had the baby 20 years ago, and you still holding on to the fact that you had your baby outside of wedlock, and that's why you're not answering the call of God on your life, because you looking at what's behind you on the dresser.
Amen.
Wow.
He don't care that you used to run around on your husband. He don't care that you used to run around on your wife. He done brought you past that. He done healed your marriage. Mm. Y'all have been faithful for years, but y'all scared to do the marriage ministry that he has for you because of what y'all see behind you on the dresser. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry.
No,
he don't care.
I'm just saying bye to the people. Listen, you got to say bye to the people. If you're still on the line, we still here.
Y'all be saying bye, but I got to tell y'all, but I'm hearing in my spirit. He don't care that he was sitting in the prison cell and you sat there for years because you committed murder. He done delivered you, saved you, forgave you, brought you to a whole other location in life, but you moved forward because of what's sitting behind you in the reflection of the mirror. Y'all better stop looking at everything that's around you in that mirror.
Amen. Go ahead, tell the pastor.
That's all
like
I got to say about that. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry for taking us over. Y'all had y'all closing words and closed us out. I'm by y'all. God bless y'all. I love y'all.
Right. See you in 2 weeks.
See ya. Peace.
Jesus bless. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.